Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Getting an update from Kuya Silver. Going to be focusing on the company's Bethania Silver project in Peru and the move into production. This has been years in the making for the company. I know a lot of our listeners have been focused on this asset when the company first went public. In terms of what production could look like, now we're going to get some more information on that. I'm chatting with the President and CEO, David Stein, as well as the Chief Operating Officer, Christian Adamayo. Kuya Silver is traded on the CSE under the symbol KUYA, on the OTCQB under the symbol KUYAF, and on the Frankfurt Exchange under the symbol 6MR1. Christian, let's start off with you. It's the first time on the show, so let's get a little bit of your background and your involvement at this Bethania project. Since you are the chief operating officer here, you're really leading the ship, leading this project into production.
Hello, Cody. Yes, I have been involved in operations from project startup of the project development, and operating the mine in places like Brazil, Ecuador, Chile, Africa, North America. And then with David, when we decided to incorporate Kuya and we found this amazing asset in Bethania in 2017, we have a very long way since that moment until now that we are on the verge of production. As you said, it's very exciting, and we are bringing world-class experience into this operation that will soon start producing.
Let's talk about the progress update more in terms of timelines into production. What can you tell us about when this asset could be producing?
First of all, I want to tell you that we are on track in terms of progress, in terms of budget, and in terms of expectation of rock stability. We have on track, we are on plan. We plan just to have the first blast on late Q2 of this year, and then starting ramping up until get to full production. We have 6 kilometers of galleries developed. We have already reconditioned 550 meters. We need to get to a little bit 40% more, 40 to 45% more. It will depend on the rock stability to get to the first blast and the first stope. We are already developing ancillary infrastructure, and we are increasing our manpower as planned. We have been very successful in hiring and recruiting expert personnel.
No, any major stepping stones up to that start of production or any major costs that investors should be aware of?
Bethania is in a very well-known area in Peru, and the rock is as expected there, very stable. We haven't found any major disruption. We are in a place that has not given us any problem for sourcing people and the sourcing of material. We have Huancayo very close and other cities. We have been very successful on doing that. So we don't foresee any kind of disruption or major stepping stone, let's say, or blocking stone or any kind of blockage, basically, until we get to production.
All right, David Stein, President and CEO, let's bring you in here then. Talk a little bit about the financials around production. Can we estimate or can you share with us what the expected, let's say, all-in sustaining costs or any other cost metrics will be when this mine first gets into production?
Sure. Well, I guess what I can do is I can help, the investors kind of build up that from our PEA, which, did the PEA does envisage us having our own plant. And of course, we've discussed in the past, we're instead going to toll mill for the first while where we truck our ore to another plant, we pay them a fee, and then we sell the concentrate. We own the rock and the concentrate the whole time. We sell the concentrate after that. So there's a cost to that. And I would say or estimate that the additional cost will be $2 to $3 per ounce is how it'll work out when you sort of look at it from a full production basis. But when you consider the costs, in our PEA, we're extremely low, sort of ranging in the $10 to $12 AISC over the life of mine. Even if you add a few dollars to that, it's still a very low cost operation. And of course, it's worth noting that, the silver price has moved up about $3 an ounce just in the last few weeks, which all, will go to our bottom line. So I think we can deliver a low cost operation. Obviously, as you're ramping up, your unit costs are a little bit higher, but then they go down as you get closer and closer to full production, which will be, we expect that to be in mid 2025.
So with any of these toll milling costs, are they variable or how many are variable and do any of these fluctuate with the metals prices?
No, they don't. It's a fixed fee per ton to have the ore processed, and then there'll be a trucking, expense that we pay to get our ore there, and that's really it. So we'll know ahead of time what that is, and it really shouldn't vary over the time that we're doing that.
So Christian, let's talk about ramp up schedule then. If you're anticipating first production being late Q2 of this year, what does that look like tonnage wise? And then what is the ramp up schedule going to be?
Yes, we are going to start Q2, and then it will take us 11 months to get to full production, meaning on the month 12 after we start, we're going to get to full production. We're expecting a semi-linear ramp up here, and we are going to step very fast into 350. Basically, the important milestone to get is to 150, and from there it's just increasing periodically until 350.
So is that 150 tons, is that going to happen right out of the gate, or how long will it take to just get to that initial level?
No, that will be the tougher one, let's say, or what will take us the most of the time. Let's say from the 11 months, I will take 40% to get to the 150, and then it will be faster.
So, David, when we take into account these numbers, what is the expected ounces produced full year when you are in full production?
Yeah, again, in full production, our production should be basically exactly the same as we had in the PEA, which is going to be, sort of in the range of 1.2 to 1.4 million ounces of silver equivalent per year. And, 70 plus percent of that is going to be actually silver. So that'll be kind of our initial production level. And, Christian and I, we use the word full when we're talking about 350 tons per day. That's currently what we're permitted to produce. But, we really see that as just a phase one. And we're going to be working towards expanding that very soon out of the gate. As soon as we get comfortable with the operation, we're going to be looking at ways to expand that beyond 350 tons per day. So full is really, just so everyone knows, is really it's really not the completion of the job. We think we can make the mine a lot bigger over the next few years. Maybe even 2 to 3 times the size of the initial ramp up, but obviously that 350 tons per day is a very important milestone for us because, again, if you refer back to the PEA, you'll see that we generate quite a lot of cash flow. Even though that doesn't sound like a lot of tons per day, we can generate quite a lot of cash flow with that amount of production.
Is there a plan then to move away from simply toll milling, build your own facility, or is this going to be the big picture strategy, even if or when you go past that 350 tons per day?
No, I we definitely still want to build our own mill for many reasons. There will be a cost saving, obviously offset with CapEx, but it's also, I think, going to be good to control, the process. I think we'll be able to get better recoveries if we have control as well, improve our recoveries. And ultimately, the initial plant that we build will be a stepping stone to a much larger plant. And while it is pretty easy to toll mill at, 200, 300, 400 tons per day, like in that sort of range, if we're going to go 500 to 1,000 tons per day, it becomes really difficult, if not impossible, to toll mill. We really have to have our own facility at that point. So really, that's the goal is to build it. We did design back in 2022, design and permitted a really state-of-the-art, environmentally friendly process plant that we will be very, very proud to operate one day. So we really do want to build it. I think it will be a great achievement for the company and really help drive the growth forward.
Okay, timeline wise, though, that comes as production ramps up and most likely as the company builds up cash through production, correct?
Yeah, I mean, as we build up cash from the operations, it becomes a nice problem to have because we also have a massive amount of exploration to do in the Bethania district. If you go back to our drill program in 2021, we really focused around the mine workings to develop a mine model so that we could go into production. We really have not done, what a traditional or a Canadian would consider exploration, where you start stepping out and trying to extend the zones at depth along strike, et cetera. We've got other new mineralized areas that we've defined from our surface sampling work more recently that we, expect there will be resources there as we drill the veins at depth. So we have many, many targets to significantly expand the exploration, and we will want to allocate capital to that. So as the money starts sort of rolling in, then we, at the time, this will be probably a discussion for next year, 2025, but we'll be talking about, okay, how much do we allocate to exploration? How much do we hold back to be maybe a down payment on a mill? And those are obviously nice problems to have.
Okay, I was going to ask you timeline for exploration. Sounds like more of a next year type of thing as you ramp up production at Bethania. With the recent moves in the silver price, you mentioned that this is a primary silver mine, about 70% silver. What does the overall breakdown of revenue look like between silver, zinc, lead, as some of these prices have moved and as silver has truly outperformed some of the base metals?
Yeah, so in terms of the value of the resource, it's about 70%, or it was about 70% at $25 silver. So probably here it's even more because the silver price has outperformed the other metals that we have in the deposit, which are mainly lead and zinc. We have a little bit of copper and gold in our resource as well. So basically it's 70, maybe 75% silver here, 25% a combination of those other four metals, none of which are really that big contributors, but collectively, it's material to recover the lead and the zinc and as well look as much copper and gold as we can get. It all adds to the bottom line.
All right, Christian, let's get you back in here then. Just a big picture comment on Bethania. This has been a multi-year process for the company when it was private and then moved into public. I know that you also picked up some other assets that you're exploring on in a different jurisdiction, but just on the Bethania standpoint, give us a bit of your just summary of the work that's gone into finally getting to a production scenario. It sounds like at the end of this quarter.
Yes, it has been a whole journey to get there. We started with a small land package, as you know, in the Bethania. Now we have been consolidated and growing, acquiring other targets where some artisanal operations were located, like Carmelitas, for instance. We have been very successful in clearing all the area and not having any other artisanal or any kind of other mining operation within our land package, and that's for a South American operation and company. It's a big success. We have also been very successful in getting the permits on time. We believe that Peruvian mining legal jurisdiction, like legislation, is very predictable and is straightforward in terms of how you can get your permits. So I believe we have been very successful in obtaining them on time for every of the phases that we have been moving through. Let's say we started with just the mine. Now we have the mine and the area to build the process plant permitted within the mine. We successfully submitted at the end of last year our mine plan to the government that includes all the activities that we will do, plus an optionality for underground exploration. We have been using a lot of effort, putting a lot of effort in community relationships, developing them, strengthening them, and making our allies and partners in developing the Bethania region in such a way that they are all cheering for us to get into production because they know that that will be development and success for everybody. We believe that we're in a region where resources are scarce because it's high. And Huancavelica is not like the southern of Peru where the big mines are located. So we have been very successful in sourcing human resource, in sourcing material, and we have assembled a very good team that is led by our general manager, legal manager in Peru, and my manager over there, my superintendent over there at mine. that are successfully developing the mine and getting, most important, on track. So I see that it was a tough start, as difficult as all good projects should be, but now we have the meters that we should be planning for, the stability that we are expecting, and safety as being the primary focus of the company.
David, let's bring you in here then, because look, you and I have chatted for years about this Bethania project. I know my listeners have been interested to see it move into production, and you talk to shareholders, I'm sure, on a daily basis that have been asking, when will this be in production? What does production look like? You're almost there. So, a similar question to Christian, but more on the investment side. What's important now for investors to understand now that Bethania is almost in production?
Well, obviously the cash flow and just the de-risking of the project is very, very important. That tends to be a time in, in the life cycle of a mining stock when a huge amount of value can be created or added for shareholders, is when you sort of take it from being a, cash flow negative junior company to a cash flow positive mining company, regardless of how, big the mine may be. Just that transition creates a lot of value. And not only is it because you now, are building up cash, but also because you've greatly reduced the risks to, to your shareholders, the, financial risk, dilution risk, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's important. I think the other factor that's really important is just the fact that there are so few primary silver mining companies, publicly traded mining companies that investors can buy. If you are excited about the silver price and if you want exposure, upside exposure to the silver price, there's probably only about 8 to 10 companies in the entire world where most of their revenue comes from silver, and we're going to be one of them. As investors, more and more investors sort of jump on this theme of precious metals and specifically silver, which, which tends to outperform gold in a precious metals bull market, you're going to see a lot of traffic go into very few stocks, and that should drive their valuations up, tremendously. And that's really the opportunity that investors have right now to get into, a silver company like Kuya, is the really the explosive upside potential as the crowds come in later to get exposure to silver.
All right, David, thank you very much for this update. Christian, very nice to meet you, and thank you for providing a more boots on the ground look at the Bethania project. For everyone listening, if you have any follow-up questions, please email me. I'll get the team at Kuya Silver to address those. Also, follow up with any production updates as we get closer to production from the Bethania Silver Mine. David, Christian, again, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.